All right, turn to Psalms, if you will, Psalm 37. Now, David wrote this psalm. David, the one that God said he was a man after his own heart. But David also failed. And he failed. And he got up. And he failed. And he got up. And he failed. And he got up. And I think that's why God loved him more than anything, is he never gave up. Though he had many failures, moral and otherwise, he'd get right back up and go on for God again. He never quit. And nowadays, if you have a failure, people write you off. They say, well, write him off. She can't do nothing for God now. That's over. No, sir, it's not over. As long as you got breath, you can do something for God. Amen. You may not can pastor. You may not can even preach. You may not even be qualified to teach. But everybody can do something for God. You say, you don't know how bad I failed, Lord. Well, no worse than David. His preacher looked at him one day and said, thou art the man. You're the one I'm talking about. You're the low-down rascal that did what I'm talking about. And he got up. He got right with God and he got up. Yes, he suffered consequences. Yes, he did. And we will. But still, go on. And we'll show you a little bit about that tonight. The steps of a good man, if you'll look at it with me, in Psalm 37, look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now we can stop right there and preach all night. God orders our steps, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're supposed to delight in them anyway. Amen? You say, well, he ain't done this, he ain't done that. Hey, that's God. You can't change what God does, but if you're a good man, he'll guide you good. Amen? Now, look at this. Though he fall. Now, wait a minute. He just said the steps of a good man. And then he says, though he fall. Now, I'm not real good on Spanish or French and but I'm real good on Southern English. I mean, people think we Southerners are dumb, but we're not dumb, and we kind of pour it on like we are when they get around just to aggravate them. We'll get sounding like Gomer Pyle when they're around just to aggravate them, because they think we're dumb anyway, so let's just aggravate them. And let's say Baines instead of Beans. Amen? Amen. But I want you to notice it. It said, though he fall, the good man, not the bad man, not the unbeliever, not the adulterer, not the liar, not the crook, but the good man, his steps ordered by the Lord. And though that tells me, he will fall. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He said, now a good man's going to fall. Everybody's going to fall. Everybody in this room will fall. You can love Jesus. You can dedicate your life to him. But sometimes in your Christian life, you're going to let him down. Now it may be a great big letdown, or it may be a little letdown, but somewhere along the line, you're going to fall because you're the good man he's talking about, the believer. And he said, but even if he falls, God's not going to cast him down. He ain't going to kick him and throw him away. He says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You see, when you got saved, you sold all rights to him. Now, you fall, and you will. But when you fall, he's not going to run over there and say, I didn't know you'd do that, and cast you down farther. He's going to reach over and pick you up with his hand, and he's going to say, you didn't surprise me. I knew what you was made out of when I saved you. I have been young, and now am old, and have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, I'm old enough to say amen to that. Some of y'all are not old enough to say amen to that. You're young. You've never been old yet. But I can tell you this. When you're younger, you don't see it as much as when you get older. You've seen a lot of people come and go, And here's what I've seen. God has never forsaken the righteous. Those that receive His Son receive His righteousness. They become the righteousness of God in Christ. So when God sees them, He sees the righteousness of His Son. He don't see their falls and failures. And so it says that I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That goes back to Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Your youngins ain't, can I say youngins? Jeffrey ain't here. The people from Michigan ain't here tonight. We can say youngins. Amen. Your youngins are not going to starve to death if you're right with God. God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your house. Now, everybody in your house may not be righteous, and they may not trust God. But see, you're the one trusting God. As long as they're in your house, you're trusting God to take care of them. Brother Dan, your kids never have to worry about starving. They'll never have to worry about going without. God takes care of His children. Now, I've been poor. Besides Brother Danny, there's probably nobody here that can outpour me in stories. I've been poor. But let me tell you something. Poor is not always being forsaken. Some of the richest people on planet Earth are poor.
Yes.
Amen. Some of the greatest saints you'll ever meet have been poor people. Because when you get rich, that's when it gets hard to be a good Christian, because you'll think you don't need God and you'll think you're self-sufficient and your old pride will get in the way. But the righteous, those that trust God for everything, His seed, His children, her children will not starve to death, I guarantee. I've had people ask me, what do you think about those little children over there in Africa starving, and those people in the Middle East and the Far East and Afghanistan, those little children starving? What do you think about? What caused that? Was that politics? Was that the U.S. government? Was that the CIA that caused that? I said, no, it's caused by unbelieving parents. If those parents would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they'd have a guarantee their youngins would get fed. And because they don't do that, those of us who do that, and we've been saved and made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have to feed them. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Don't matter if you are or not. I'm going to preach it anyway. Now, look, I want you to notice this. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now, you can't outdo the mercy of God. And if you receive the mercy of God, then you're going to be what? Merciful. You're going to be merciful. Because, see, people that have been blessed want to share it. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. People used to tell me, if you're going to start a church, and I'm going to have to get some suspenders. It's hard to keep my britches up on this funnel I done grew here. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, why don't you go get some rich people to start your church? I said, rich people don't start churches. Yeah, they're all over the place. I said, no, sir. Rich people join churches after they are successful. Rich people only join successful things. They don't create churches. They come after the poor people have sacrificed and loved and prayed and begged and built a church. Then the rich people will come and they'll support your ministry. But they don't start churches. Poor people start churches. My daughter Suzanne lives in Jefferson, Georgia, and her youth group from her church went up to Washington, D.C. to help a mission church. The mission church is, they cleaned out a bicycle shop in town. And they painted it, and they're going to have church in there on the rich side of town. And they think all they got to do is clean out a spot and lay out some chairs and hang up a sign and people will come. Well, I got news for you. Those rich people are not looking for a church in a bicycle shop. Now, I started one in a liquor store one time. I did. I started a church in a liquor store. And we'd paint over them dots, and they'd bleed right back through. And we'd paint, it was in Lancaster on Midway. We'd paint over those dots every two or three weeks. And I'd go around knocking on doors and on the mill hill. And those people would come. It didn't bother them to go to a liquor store to go to church. They'd been going there for other reasons. And they come. They did. They come. And never forget, I'd be knocking on doors, and I'd say, well, I'm 26 years old. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I have no idea. Nobody's ever told me. It's just a friend of mine said, well, to start a church there. I said, amen. That's where I grew up. Let's do it. Everybody down there is going to hell. I didn't know. So we went in there, and but we fixed it up. We built one wall between the bathrooms and the sanctuary so you couldn't see the bathrooms. We fixed it up, amen. And but I'd knock on doors and I'd say, I'm Pastor Ron Roddy, Tabernacle Baptist Church, right up here on Midway. And they'd say, there's a church on Midway? I said, yeah, we started a church up there. We want you to come, man. Why don't y'all come to church? And of course, that would lead into witnessing to them. But here's what they'd say. Y'all started church on Midway? I said, yeah. And they said, I ain't ever seen no church on Midway. And right over the red dots, it used to say the Sugar Shack. So I'd say, in the Sugar Shack. Oh, I know what a Sugar Shack is. But I tell you this, didn't no rich people come. And I remember standing there preaching one Sunday, and a car pulled up on beside the street. And a nice lady got out and opened that door and handed my wife or somebody at the back a box. And that liquor store had a big, big picture window in the front and had a glass door. And she handed it, and turned out it was a Free Will Baptist Church that felt sorry for us, and they gave us some red curtains to go in the window. And I thought, that's good. It'll match the red dots. And I'm like, give us nothing. But we had some people saved. Hey, we had some glorious salvation. It's been never got real big. Later on, we moved it to an old house. But listen, God Himself is merciful to those who are merciful. Poor people will give more money to the work of the Lord than rich people will. Unless they're looking for a place to dump their tax deductions, you know. I will say, when we were building Victory, I got a call one day at Mr. Mims. He was a millionaire friend of mine where we took the kids to camp. He said, Ron! I said, yes, sir, Mr. Mims. He said, and you always say Mr. to a millionaire, okay? And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Mims. He said, I heard y'all's building a church. I said, yes, sir, it's about to kill me. He said, could you use $10,000? I said, wait a minute, let me check. Mr. Mims, I think we could use it. He said, all right, got one condition. I said, what's that? He said, it's February. I said, yeah. He said, I need something to write off taxes from last year. He said, so if I send you a backdated check from January, will you count it as from January? I said, how much was it? He said, $10,000. I said, done. I didn't care what date he put on the stinking thing. But he did it for a tax deduction. Now, but he grew up poor too. And look, when God's merciful to me, He's merciful to you. And that's part of God ordering the steps of a good man. God has mercy on us. We have mercy on others. God lifts people up. We lift people up. God doesn't kick people down. He helps them up. Amen. Come on, help me. Will never fail. Somebody get out of church, they'll get in trouble, call me from the jail or something, and there'll always be some hypocrite who'll say this, I knew it. I knew that was a rascal. I knew he was a hypocrite. And I just thought, shut your mouth. Now, go on. He said, for the Lord loveth. No, he said, verse 20 said, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. You see that? And the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved. Would you underline that word preserved? Forever. But the seed of the wicked, their children, will be cut off. Do y'all know what preserve means? It's preserved. It'll never go bad. My salvation will never go bad. I preached in the York County Jail many, many, many years. And one night I got in there and I got so excited. I said, I'm fireproof. I can go to hell if I wanted to. I'm saved. That next Monday night, one man showed up out of the average of 30. I said, where's everybody at? He said, they mad at you. I said, what are they mad at me for? He said, you was fireproof. You couldn't go to hell. I said, it's the truth. I said, when he saved me, he promised to keep me and never leave me and never forsake me. It's him that's going to get me to heaven, not my works, whether good or bad. He's promised to take me to heaven. And like a Jude says, unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's his job now. It ain't my job to get me to heaven. I put it on him. If I die and go to hell, I'm going to trust him and they'll have to air condition. Amen? Amen? That's called faith. You ain't got no faith if you think every time you fall, God casts you off. What kind of father is that casts off his children every time they fail? I got to hurry. I hadn't even gotten my sermon yet. Listen. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forevermore. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Look at verse. Skip down, if you will, for the sake of time. Look at verse 37. Mark the perfect man. Now somebody would say, well, nobody's going to be marked. No, he's not. He's not talking about sinless perfection. He's talking about the one that he sees as perfect, the righteous man. Remember, keep it in its context. The righteous man, how do you get the righteousness of God? Through Jesus Christ. You don't have any. Because every time you think you have some righteousness, you ruined it because you're stinking pride. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. All right. A fellow said one time he was hitchhiking home from Bible college, Curtis Hudson. He was down in Georgia. He was hitchhiking home from Bible college, and this fellow picked him up, and they was going down the road, and the fellow asked him where he'd been. He told him, you know, and he said, so you go to Bible college? He said, yeah. He said, well, I'm a believer too. Glory to God, I haven't sinned in over 40 years. Curtis Hudson said, I looked at him and said, amen. I've lived above sin for 4 years now. He said, you have? He said, yeah. While I'm at school, I stay in a room above the pool hall. That's the closest you're going to get to being over sin. Amen. He's over sin. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Look at verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of who? Wait a minute. It's not of baptism. I'm Baptist. I believe in baptism. But baptizing won't save you. If it would, every minnow in the Catawba River would be saved. Every catfish would be going to heaven. We all know catfish don't go to heaven. We eat them. Now, he said, but the salvation is of the righteous is of the Lord. He's the one that saves you. You didn't do that. And by the way, you don't keep you either. He keeps you. Well, you're legalizing sin. No, sir. I'm inspiring you to love him so much you don't want to sin. Though you will. By the way, you need to remember, you ain't what you used to be, but you ain't always what you ought to be either. And thank God you ain't what you're going to be. He said, he is their strength in the time of trouble. You see that? And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, if you've been saved over a few weeks, the wicked, you already got a target on you. The wicked don't like you. Now, there's a difference between wicked and just a sinner. We're all sinners saved by grace. Wicked, when you think of wicked in the Bible, think of a wick, a candle. The wick is many threads twisted together. That's where the wick comes from. That word wick comes from the twisting. So when you think of wicked people, you think of people who twist things. Words. Deeds. They twist things. See, sin is when you hurt yourself. Wicked is when you hurt somebody else. On purpose. Come on, help me. Now, he says that the Lord will save us from the wicked. Now, look. As soon as I got saved, I didn't know any better. I just started telling people. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to tell people. You really are, but I went to work, and they said, "Boy, what happened to you?" I said, "I can't explain it. I went to that church over there, and that man preached, and I walked up there and asked Jesus to save me, and I come out like this." They said, "Well, you ain't like you used to be." I said, "Amen." And I said, "You ought to come down there and hear it. Oh, boy, don't you start preaching to me." I said, "I ain't preaching to you. I'm just telling you how you asked me and I told you." Mm-hmm. They'd say, "We ain't heard you cuss in 2 or 3 weeks. What happened? You don't laugh at our jokes anymore." I said, "They ain't funny no more." I couldn't explain it. I didn't know I was a new creature. I just knew I was going to hell. Now what? And that's all I knew. I knew I walked out there that day and the sky was bluer and I loved people more than I'd ever loved people before. And I felt the presence of God in me and I felt peace. That's all I knew. I didn't know his scriptures. But they'll put a tag on you, buddy. And they'll say, "Word got back down to Lancaster where I grew up with that gang down there." And they said, "Y'all hear about old Ron Ronnie? He done gone religion crazy. He's going to church on Sunday morning. He got baptized. He's going to church on Sunday night. I hear he's even going on Wednesday night. The man's lost his mind. He's gone religion crazy. That girl he married messed him up." Yeah. Had another fellow tell Billy's uncle that was my best man at my wedding. And Billy's uncle worked with him. And Billy's uncle, Bo, asked him, said, "Junior, what do you think about old Ron Roddy?" This is after I'd been saved about a year. He said, "He's a hypocrite." He said, "Why would you say that?" He said, "Nobody can change that much." And old Billy's uncle said, "You're right, but God changes people that much." Amen. You can't fake it. Amen. And so here's David. He's fallen. He's committed sin with Bathsheba. He's killed the husband. He's lied about it. And the preacher walks in and he tells a story about the sheep. And the man stealing the little one sheep all the men had. And David gets mad and said, "Well, he needs paying back 4 times as much." And the preacher looks at him and said, "Thou art the man." And then, not long after that, he writes this. Probably not a year later, he writes this. That's steps of a good man. You can fall down, get up, fall down, get up. Look, you can get knocked down and get up. Now, the world's going to knock you down. Those old friends, they'll knock you down. And Brother Dan, they're just looking for a reason to call you a liar and a hypocrite. And they'll put a tag on you. And while you ain't around, they'll talk about you. And they, hey, that's the wicked crowd, see? And they'll make plans to help you fall if they can. They'll set it up. And then you got the devil and his crowd, the demons and the devil, that crowd. And as soon as you get saved, they go to work to put things in your path, your life, the way you're going to travel. And by the way, they know already. They've seen this since before the foundation world. These are eternal creatures. God created them before He ever created the heaven and the earth. They were around when God created all this stuff. They saw Adam and Eve. They saw Job. They saw Sodom and Gomorrah. They saw the cruelty of the cross. They've seen people make professions and lie and fall and stay down. And look, they will lay things in. Those angelic beings have now, they can't tell the future, but they can arrange it by setting something up before you get there. Putting people in your path that ain't good for you. Y'all still with me? Think a little bit spiritual for a change. Amen. We go down the road, you know, in our life, and one day we run into people or things, and they become a part of our life, and we accidentally let them wiggle their way into our life and become a part of our life, and then months, maybe years later, we look back and we say, why did I ever let those people in my life? Where did they come from? I didn't know them. I didn't know none of their people. Where did that person come from that now is causing me so much trouble? And you get thinking about it, it was a demonic action to set you up to fall. And sometimes you fall. Oh, me? But I want you to notice this, if you will. Look at verse 1, chapter 37. Man, I got 5 more minutes. I'm doing a good job. Amen. I don't ever preach this fast. I bet y'all wish I'd lose all my outlines, don't you? Look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't envy those people. Don't become a part of what they are. The devil put them in your path. They're wicked. They hurt people. Stay away from them because pretty soon God's fixing to cut them down. Did you know if you live long enough, you'll outlive all your accusers? I think I've gotten there. Well, y'all probably know some I don't know, but the real bad ones. I've outlived the enemies that I've known. I've outlived them. They've been cut down like the grass. They were here, now they're gone, and I'm still here. And it ain't me that did that. That's God that did that. He said, don't you fret about it. I'll take care of that crowd. You just keep trusting me. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Don't quit now. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Don't just trust Him, man, enjoy it. Average person that says they're a Christian, you say, are you a Christian? They say, yeah. And I look at them and I think, well, if you're a Christian, no wonder nobody wants to be a Christian. You look like you've been eating green persimmons, man. It's awful. One Sunday, we're going to have persimmon Sunday. Yeah, we're going to have persimmon Sunday. I've done it before. Rudy, you got to help me pick some persimmons. Right before they get ripe, they're just yellow, not orange, okay? Most of these Yankees never ate a persimmon. You ever ate a persimmon? What? And you grew up in Lancaster County? We're going to have persimmon Sunday. I'm going to pass them out. And I'm going to say, all things that God made are good. Amen. They'll say, amen. I say, okay, rise, slay, and eat. We're all going to take a big old bite of those persimmons. If you ain't never eat one, you're in for a glorious experience. And then I'm going to say, now let's sing Amazing Grace. And you're going to go, amazing. Hey, go do good. Let them do whatever they do. Ignore that crowd. You'll outlive them. You'll outlast them. And while they're talking bad about you, God's working out their end. Right. Well, preacher, I used to be a Christian, but I got my feelings hurt. The devil knew that's all it would take. So he sent somebody to hurt your little old feelings. By the way, when they hurt your feelings out at Walmart, did you go back? Yeah, you hypocrite. Yeah, you did. Every time I go to the gas pump, it hurts my feelings. I keep going right back. I told that boy the other day when I went there, he says, is there anything else we can do for you today? I said, yeah, you lower your stinking prices. I said, y'all ain't paying but $50 a barrel now. And the prices, back when it first went up to $50 a barrel, we was paying 90 cents a gallon. What happened to that picture? I said, I'm weaning mine. That's it. I'm weaning it. I said, I'm putting less and less in it every time, and I'm teaching it to go without gas. He said, good luck with that. I walked out mad. But I went back. I'm a hypocrite. No, I'm going to endure to the end. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What? And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know what he's saying? Those criticizers, backbiters, gossipers, liars, twisters, they're going behind your back talking bad about you and criticizing you and making fun of you and working out ways to hurt you. Let me tell you something. You keep doing good. You keep trusting the Lord. You delight in your salvation he's given you, and God's making a plan for that crowd. And you'll get the victory. And do you know what? Sooner or later, some of them are going to say, you know, we might have been wrong about her. Sooner or later, some of them's going to say, you know, he might have something there. He's been doing that a long time, and we've been making fun of him. We've been talking about him. We've been running him down, and he keeps on doing right anyway. He might be real. But if you go around, I don't go to church. I got my feelings hurt. Preacher didn't even shake my hand. And I had this toenail one time, and nobody from the church come to the house and looked at my bad toenail. And I went to Dr. Smith, and he gave me a prescription. And then he sent me over to Dr. Doolittle, and he gave me an x-ray. And he sent me over to the other doctor, and they gave me a CT scan. And my preacher didn't even come. No, don't do that. Say, glory to God, I got a toenail. Amen. A lot of people don't have them. I got toes to have toenails. Amen. By the way, some of my toenails are getting ugly. I'm telling you, they're getting ugly. The older you get, the uglier they get. All y'all vain people, you're going to pay for it after a while. Your toenails are going to get ugly. Your fingernails are going to get ugly. And you're going to be ugly like the rest of us. Yeah. Go ahead. But keep trusting the Lord. I'm telling you. It's funny, but it's true. I used to have a man in my church that during the service, he pulled his shoe off and clipped his toenails. I could tell you his name. If it wasn't on Facebook, I might tell it anyway before it's over with. Clipped his toenails in the church. I could see where he sat in the same place every Sunday. And I'd go over there, them big old green and yellow toenails be laying up there. How'd y'all get me on that subject? I'm going to preach the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. That's somewhere in the Bible. Green toenail. Look at this. Calm down. Look at this. Look at verse 7. Look at it. Look. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't you envy those people. There's a payday coming. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now look at this, and I'm going to quit. For yet a little while, I like that. A little while. I like that fret too. That's a southern term. Yeah, that's right. He said, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. He said, it ain't going to be long. You don't fret. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. And in a little while, it ain't going to be long. They ain't even going to be around no more because God's going to drop the judgment on them. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to, by the way, you don't have to defend yourself. I never defend myself. God defends me. Because all you're going to do is argue with somebody when you defend yourself anyway. And you're not going to change their mind because they know they're lying and they can't change their mind. Then they'd be seen in a lie. So, hey, don't fret. Keep on doing good. Well, I failed, preacher, and they're criticizing me. Get up. Go on. That'll prove they're wrong. If you stay around long enough, you'll be accused of a lot of things. And if you stay around long enough, you'll be guilty of some things. But you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves, look at this, in the abundance of peace. There's coming day, it'll all be settled. And we'll have the peace we're looking for. Until then, keep pressing on. David would fall into sin. He'd get up, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And the New Testament says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You didn't get perfect when you got saved. Perfection's later. Peace is later. We're in a war, man. And you're going to lose some battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But when you do, look to the Lord. Don't fret. And by the way, when you lose, that crowd's going to be there to see it. And they're going to rejoice. So ruin their rejoicing by saying, Lord, that's not me. I don't want to be like that. That's what I used to be. And I got weak and I gave in. And the circumstances or the people or the place. And God help me and forgive me. And get up and claim the blood of Jesus. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get up off your knees and you go on. And you're going to fall again. But if you listen to everything everybody says about you and every criticism, you're going to quit. Turn it off. Fret not. Delight thyself in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy path. There's so many people I've been around and I've seen so many that's quit. They've given up. The Christian race requires discipline and patience and steadfastness. You can't be a quitter and be a good Christian. I'm glad Jesus wasn't a quitter. I'm glad the writers of the book wasn't quitters. I'm glad the apostles wasn't quitters. I'm glad my mama wasn't a quitter. I'm glad those people that prayed for me in spite of me not wanting them to. I'm glad they weren't quitters. I'm glad those people that came to my house and when they left I made fun of them and mocked what they believed. And they didn't quit. They kept coming anyway. I'm glad that preacher got up and preached every Sunday. The five Sundays that I went, he got up and preached in spite of me being there and not believing a stinking word he said. Until that one day. He kept preaching. He kept preaching. They kept praying. They kept praying. I kept falling and I couldn't get up by myself. And they were lifting me by their prayers and by their preaching and by their faithfulness and by their steadfastness. And I went down there and I saw something I didn't see in the world and I felt something I didn't feel in the world. And the Holy Ghost of God picked me up. He lifted me out of miry clay. He put me on the solid rock. He established my going forth. I got saved that day. I became a new creature. And look, it's different. You're born again. You're a new creature. But the old creature's still there. And when I fall, I say, Lord, that's not me. That's not what I want to be. That's not what I... Hey, Lord, that's the old me. That's not me. That's not the new me, Lord. That's not what I want to be. God, help me to be better. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Wash me by the blood of Jesus. And I get up and I come on. Of all the men in the Bible to write that, if you had to be the good man, like this said, the steps of a good man, if the requirement was you had to be good or perfect, David couldn't have written this. God saw him as good in spite of his fallings. You remember that next time you fall. You said, God doesn't see my fall. He sees my goodness because he's given me his goodness. I don't have any. It's his anyway.
Right.
He gives me his righteousness. I don't have any. It's his righteousness. So I'm going to get up. I ain't staying down here. You might knock me out down, but you're not knocking me out. I may stumble and fall, but I ain't quitting. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You ever been there? It's what we need, ain't it? Now, this world hates our guts, and they're attacking us on every... And we lose friends, and we lose family, and we lose jobs, and we lose all kinds of things, just simply because of what we believe. But that's not a reason to quit. That's a reason to go on and prove them wrong. And within a generation, that crowd that did that to us is going to be dead in hell, and we're still going to be on our way to heaven. Let's stand, Father.